is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 688. I'm Lisa Sheps, and I'm joined without a co-host today. I am flying solo, as they say, but we have a jam-packed show that we know you'll love. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as we do each Wednesday at KOOP.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
There were bells. It is Wednesday, September 28th, 2022. On the show today, we have Penfold Theater and their production of The Midsummer Night's Dream. Also, we have Jarrett Productions and their show, The Pact. And finally, on our jam-packed show, we have Beyond August Productions and their show, The Outsider. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions with all of us about theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, St. Petersburg, Russia, and St. Petersburg, Florida. May they be good and safe. We'll be right back.
Roses, they tell me in sweet.
Ah, that Sutton Foster and her golden tones. That is, of course, Sutton Foster singing "There Were Bells on a Hill." I don't know. That it's actually, the title is shorter than that. It's "Till There Was You," which was made popular by a lesser known group of people called the Beatles. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. Thank you, Taylor. I'm going to introduce the folks that are here with us right now. And we have Dane Parker. Hi, Dane.
Hello.
We have Yunina Barber Payne.
Hello there.
See, we can hear her thanks to Taylor Flanagan,
hey,
who's also here.
I used to be a co-op engineer back in the day.
Were you? I did not know that.
Yeah, I was on Youth Spin when I was a teenager.
How did I not know that?
I've told you multiple times, but it's...
Well, I knew that, yeah, but... Taylor, we've known each other long enough that you know that I can't remember anything.
I'm happy to tell this story over and over again every time I come.
Well, welcome back. We're going to do things in a little different format today, mainly because we have a jam-packed show,
yes,
and I don't have a co-host. So when we normally would spend like the first half of the show talking theater, we're just going to talk a little bit about some of the theater stuff before we talk to you about your stuff.
Great.
Sound good? So that, of course, that we're listening to... Oh, I got to say this. No, I don't have to say this. I want to say this. I just want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar. I have to say, listen to it always when I'm driving to the studio. And the music, I don't know, somehow international music, you can sing along to it like immediately. of course, with lyrics that, you know, I make them up.
Right.
Because it's another language. And I'm one of those people that live in the United States don't. Anyway, Kim Simpson, a wonderful icon here at Co-op, and I love that we follow him. And he's such, I should say this too, people that don't know Kim, he's just a sweetheart of a man.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's the end of the story. But that was Sutton Foster singing "Till There Was You" from The Music Man. That, of course, is The Music Man, which is closed relatively soon. Am I right about that? I think I'm right about that.
The only Music Man I know about was the one that had ASL in it.
Which one had ASL in it?
Ooh, you know, I don't know where
not
it
on Broadway.
Was, but you know, the guy who was just in Only Murders in the Building.
Oh yeah, I forget his name.
Yeah, he was just in.
Oh, they just did it out in Arkansas or
maybe Oklahoma.
Maybe Oklahoma. It's where Jim Reynolds ended up, and Sandra Mae Frank has worked there several times, and she was working on that production.
Yeah, she co-directed.
We actually spent a lot of time talking to Jim and things when you and I were working on Fun Home.
Yeah.
Because Sandra Mae had just done a production
there
at that
yeah
theater.
So was it Lyric then? the lyric?
I think so. I don't remember. Okay. My brain is not good. So this one... This one is on Broadway.
Okay.
And of course, we know the movie musical with Shirley Jones and Robert Preston and Opie.
Ron Howard.
Thank you.
Yes.
Fargo. So the reason why I'm playing it on the show is they just released the cast album. And, you know, there was a lot of issues around The Music Man and whether it was a good thing to have or not a good thing to have. But Sutton Foster's voice is just so beautiful. And that's good. And of course, I went and listened to bits and pieces of it. And Wells Fargo Wagon, which is always so fun because Winthrop talks like this. Anyway, it's cute.
That sounds like one of my characters in the show.
It does.
There you go. See, we always circle around.
Always comes back.
Yep. So that cast album just came out, and it is available wherever you purchase or get your cast albums. Mm. That's
Love
the end of that story.
Cast album.
So the other thing I want to talk to is there's a play. Do y'all remember Rupert Holmes? Do you know who he is?
No.
Lots of. Okay. So do you know the Pina Colada song? If you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain. That one. He wrote that. That was popular in the late 70s when I was coming up.
And apparently right now.
Apparently right now. Well, he also wrote, oh my God, I just lost the name of it. He also wrote The Mystery of Edwin Drood. And he has written. And he's actually known for musicals, and this is what surprises me. He wrote a biographical play about RBG.
Really?
Yeah, which is, running now, I believe. It runs October 5th through 23rd. Where is it? In St. Petersburg, Florida. Oh, my God. I did say we're going to talk about St. Petersburg.
Oh, you did.
I'm going to guess they may be delayed because a hurricane...
Ian
is making landfall even as we speak. So our hearts do go out to our West Florida folks. Yes. Fortunately, the St. Pete area has been spared. I just got English. Has been spared that it is crossing a little further south near Sarasota. But this place says it describes itself as follows. Supreme Court Justice RBG welcomes a friend to the family, a friend of the family to her cozy chambers to convey over the course of 90 fascinating and often funny minutes, a sense of her life and its many trials. Losing her mother the day before she graduated as valedictorian of her Brooklyn high school, being one of only 9 young women studying law at Harvard while also raising a daughter and helping her husband battle cancer, fighting for women's rights in the 1970s before condescending all male courts, and taking courageous stands for human rights as a voice of reason amid splintering and increasing politicized Supreme Court. I mean, who's not an RBG fan?
A lot of people, but that's I don't
who
have
in this
time.
Room is not an RBG fan?
No, this is like an intense conversation. Yeah. Like, come into my room. Let's talk about many things.
Let's do. Well, yeah. So we, those of us of, I think, you know, even some people on the right side of the political spectrum respected her. I mean, certainly, you know, she had this friendship with... oh my God! I just lost his name.
Justice Scalise, but it's not
Scalia. Thank
Scalia.
You. Who from someone like me, who really errs on the side of the ultra liberal, was not my favorite person as a justice. But they had this, and she, you know, they were on opposite ends of the political spectrum, right. And that's actually what we've talked about here on the show before: is that it is possible to have conversations and good conversations with people that think politically different from you. But I love the idea of this, and hopefully, it's going to have a life after. And indeed, it does. Actually, I guess I should say what the name of the play is. It's called "All Things Equal: The Life and Trials of Ruth Bader Ginsburg." And after it leaves Florida, it will head to the Bay Street Theater in Sag Harbor for another run. This is directed by Lally Lippard. I love alliterative names. Just need to say that.
I like names that sound vaguely like leopard.
Yes, me too.
Rawr. Rawr.
It's going to play November 3rd through 27th in Sag Harbor. And then the final thing I want to talk about in our little section here is a kind of a sad thing. We lost Rita Gardner. Do you know who she was?
No, unfortunately.
Have you ever seen or heard The Fantastics?
I just went and saw it for the first time at the City Theater.
That is so funny. You're getting your historical knowledge late in time.
Yeah, yeah.
So The Fantastics, of course, was a show that I believe opened in 72. I may be making that up. Mm-hmm. At the Sullivan Street Playhouse in New York. It is where... just lost his name. We'll come up with it. But Rita Gardner played Louisa.
Okay.
She played the girl. And if you listen to the cast album, as I did, time and time and time again, you heard a lot of her. I will show you what she looked like back then for those of you that are in this room.
So for listeners at home, it's a black and white photo of a young woman with beautiful, fine hair swept to the side.
in a rather seductive pose with a young man of which I just remembered his name is Jerry Orbach. This is where Jerry Orbach got his... We've talked about it on this show, so I can't go into too much detail. But the interesting story about that is that he was offered the job of El Gallo in The Fantastics right after he had been offered a... job in the chorus of a Broadway show, an unnamed Broadway show.
Really?
And he didn't know what to do. He had a chance to go on Broadway or work with this unnamed, unknown people in this little off-Broadway thing. And he rightly chose that. I don't think I would have made that choice, but he did.
Wow.
Anyway, she died of leukemia at the age of 87. You can look at her obituary if you go to offstageonair.com. Because we have to go on. But she was, I've listened to her so often in my lifetime. And when, you know what we're going to do? No, I'm doing something a little bit different for this group and this group only.
Okay.
We're going to take a 5-second break or 15-second break and listen to Rita sing Move That Thang from The Wedding Singer, which is one of the few shows she was able to do later in life. We'll be right back.
Well, first things first, my name is...
Okay, that's it. That's all we're going to listen to.
What
we were
range?
All having fun listening to that. And it's that's just, it seems so un-Rita Gardner to me. Un-Louisa. I should say that Rita Gardner also taught a lot at HB Studios in New York. But we're not here to talk about that now.
Not now.
We're here to talk about A Midsummer Night's Dream, which is Penfold Theater's 10th Outdoor in the Park show.
Yeah.
Who wants to tell us about this show? Which one of you is? Oh, you know, let me reintroduce you because people may have forgotten who you are. Dane Parker.
Hello.
Dane, who are you playing in the show? Or I know you're playing many roles. Give us one of them.
Oberon.
Yunina Barbara Payne.
Hello.
Hey.
What and one of my roles is Titania.
Titania. And Taylor Flanagan.
Hi. I play Puck, among others.
Puck. Of course you are.
Yeah.
Typecast.
Of course you are.
Mischief.
Well, great. So somebody... fill us in on this particular production. I don't know if we need to go into too many details about what it's about because it was written like 10 years ago and people should know.
Yeah. It was written a number of years ago. It is essentially the Midsummer Night's Dream that most people know and love. For those who don't know it, it's got fairies and mischief and a love quadrangle that gets further complicated by, you know, magical flowers. But for this particular production, we're keeping all of the Shakespearean language and magic of the poetry, but we are also bringing it into our world where we live now.
Oh.
And so there are adaptations.
In Central Texas or just the time frame of now?
Our time frame of now. Mm-hmm. So Rosalind has taken the text and regendered some of the characters, and just by doing that small adjustment, it has a huge impact on the stories being told and the impact of those relationships and really makes them feel more relevant to what we're experiencing now.
And we should say Rosalind is Rosalind Ferris, who's directing it and adapted it.
Yes.
And as we know, Penfold, when they do these shows, they usually pare down the cast. Mm-hmm. How many cast members do you guys have for this?
Four.
Four
brave souls.
I was thinking it was five. So who are we missing? Because I'm looking at three.
Yeah, we're missing Kevin Percival.
Kevin Percival.
Who plays Bottom, etc.
Bottom, another good one. That's what I would like to play.
Yeah,
it's great. Or Puck. There's many, many
so
things.
So great roles.
Well, awesome. So so this is done outside up in Round Rock. Penfold woke up, smelled the coffee, and moved it from the majorly hot time in, I believe, June mm-hmm. to now where the weather is going to be so good for y'all. Yeah.
Last night, the director was wearing a nice little sweater during the run.
Amazing.
It was awesome.
Amazing.
We were sweating, right. But the audience will be very comfortable.
Cool. Nice cool breeze for them.
So Shakespeare shows are usually lengthy, 3 hours plus. Is this one that long?
No, it's about two. You should be out of there, even with dawdling, by like 9:45.
Well, I'm a big fan of dawdling. As a matter of fact, that was my sorority name in college.
Yes.
So I'm all about that. Yeah, so that's amazing. So do you have any fun or interesting or tragic stories from the rehearsal period? How's it been going?
Whoa.
Come on, I won't tell. Nobody listens.
You could tell them about the crickets.
I was going to say, our notes, my goodness. So we're outside. It's Theater Under the Stars. And you know, we have a lot of cast members that are from the element of the woods and the forest where our stage is. Uh-huh. So, yeah, the first night that we did a tech run, there were so many crickets that it felt like an infestation.
Yeah, and it was just on stage. Like they didn't go to the dark grass where the audience is. They just came to where the lights are, and they were like, "Hey, this looks fun. There are people with wings up here. We'll join in." It was a wild time.
That is amazing. Crickets are crazy. And but you know what's worse than a bunch of crickets?
What?
One cricket. Terrible. And we'll get them in the theater. And I'll just hit you with one little story from my own personal life that has nothing to do with theater. I lived in New York City for years. I always lived in the back of the building because mm-hmm. I was poor, where the sound resonates. I lived in a Latino neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Lots of music. Nobody had air conditioning. The windows were open. And I was always frustrated because it was so darn noisy. I moved to the country. I moved out to this little bucolic cabin out in the middle of the woods.
Okay.
And my very first night there, I'm lying in bed, and there's a cricket.
One.
And it's one cricket. And I remember just opening my eyes and going, I cannot believe this. But that's amazing. Actually, that kind of would seem to, because it's so fitting with Midsummer Night's Dream.
They're not the crickets that are making noise. They're the crickets that are like hopping everywhere.
Oh, that's like the seven plagues crickets.
Yes.
Yeah. They were very infested.
They try to hide inside all your clothes, because as you're changing out characters, you're putting on different jackets, different things. And now it becomes a mental game of just push your arms through. It'll be fine.
Oh, my gosh.
Just close your eyes and hope. Just get dressed as fast as possible.
That is crazy. So tell us about, do you know who, like, can you tell us who did the set and lights and things like that?
Oh, I should be able to. So the set and lights were actually both done by Natalie George Productions.
Mm. We love some Natalie George.
The costumes, which are sparkly and insane and wild and pastel and amazing, are Jenny Hannah Chambers.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
And actually, Rosalind Ferris and Jenny Hannah Chambers have done their last three shows together. So, and each one very, very different visually. And then who else? Sound by Lowell Bartholomew.
I've heard of him.
Lots of fun Looney Tunes additions to our wild movement vocabulary on stage. It's been really fun. Who am I leaving out?
Let's see. I'm looking at a press release right here. Kate Tucker.
Yes.
You have an intimacy consultant, which is great.
Yeah. I felt really, really safe and protected during the process of choreographing our intimacy. Mm-hmm. From everything is like the
very mild, tight-lipped peck of Theseus and Hippolyta to the more, like, you know, joyous and yes, I'll marry you kind of kissing of Hermia and Lysandra.
I find that so important. And we've had Andy Grapko here, who's an intimacy director here in town, to talk about how important it is. In any show that happens at Ground Floor Theater or that I direct, there will always be an intimacy director. That's no great. Matter what. I'm even finding it in a show that I'm working on right now. Mm-hmm. There are times that go, God, I wish we had those kind of conversations mm-hmm. before yeah. I had mm-hmm. this kind of movement. And we just learned this on Anne in the Tropics and how protected the actors felt yeah. And how safe and how that made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So I'm so happy y'all did that, because you don't usually think of needing an intimacy director on a show like Midsummer Night's Dream. Sure. So yeah. Kudos to you guys, to y'all for doing that. You also have Oscar Franco
yes.
as your stage
yes.
manager.
Yes, our stage manager.
Oh, yeah. Oscar.
Hey, Oscar.
We love that. So we're just about running out of time. Tell people you're opening soon.
Yeah, we open tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
At 7:30 at the Round Rock Amphitheater. And information can be found at penfoldtheater.org.
Awesome. When? I knew it was a W. when does it close? How long do you play?
October 16th. We play Thursdays through Sundays, but no Sunday the 9th.
Well, of course, I wouldn't do that day.
I would never. That day knows what it is.
But bottom line is, you can get all the information you need over at penfoldtheater.org. I am so happy y'all have come on the show. This is so much fun, especially today. I feel it's really a good day.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, wonderful. And I will say this just because I'll explain it before I do the wind down. I always try to find something musically. We've had a lot of productions of Midsummer on the show, and there's lots of music that is specific to Midsummer, but I decided to just pay homage to the fact that you guys are outside.
Oh.
So what we'll be listening to...
I thought you were going to say, like, out and queer, and I was like, well, yes. That
would be the other thing. I could have gone that direction.
outside, yes.
But we're going to play from Underneath the Arches, a song called We're Always on the Outside.
Aww.
So everybody, that was Dane Parker, Yunina Barber Payne, and Taylor Flanagan of Penfold Theaters, A Midsummer Night's Dream, playing September 29th through October 16th. For more information, penfoldtheater.org. And we will be right back.
Fighting blindly through the maze.
I rarely see.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On Their Air with Elisa Sheps. We had such a lovely conversation moments ago with the folks from Penfold. That was Taylor Flanagan, Dane Parker, and Yunina Barber Payne. We're now switching gears in our newly formatted show with the folks from Jarrett Productions. And let me introduce the folks that are here. We have David Jarrett of the titular production of Jarrett Productions. Hold on just a second. I'm going to turn on your microphone, which will make it easier.
It will, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, hello.
Good, hello. We have Max Langer. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, great to be back. Thank you.
And we have Will Douglas. How are you, Will?
I'm doing great. How are you, Lisa?
Good, thank you. I didn't have you on my list for some reason. I didn't know you were coming.
I'm here.
But good. We love that you are here. And I'm glad I remembered your name. Because
yeah,
it's
me
not
too.
Written down. Usually things have to be written down. And it would. I would not leave it... It would be a normal thing for me to forget even your name, who we are very familiar with one another. So we're going to talk a little bit about some theater stuff first, and
okay.
I want to talk about a show that is opening. Oh, my God, where is it opening? It just dawned on me. It's opening on the West End, and it's a Tom Stoppard play. It's his newest one and rumored to be his very last one, and it's called Leopoldstadt. Have y'all heard of this?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, amazing show. I know at least one theater runner here in this room that's going to try to get it on their season because as I read about it, it's amazing. And we've talked about it before. So it actually premiered in the West End. Oh, it's going to be in... I can't remember. I did not print out the correct article.
It's transferring to Broadway.
It's transferring.
It's doing, yeah,
it is.
That's
yeah.
where it is. It's Broadway. Yes, thank you. That's the area I want to do it. But this is talking about, it's a kind of autobiographical by Tom Stoppard, if I didn't miss this, about his family. And this is sad and tragic, but not uncommon in the Jewish world. Stoppard's four grandparents, all four of them, died in the concentration camps. Amazing. So this play spans several years. It's actually 1899, 1900, 1924, 1938, and 1955, following this family and what happens. I should say this takes place in Vienna. What happens to their family from that point through and to the end of World War II. It seems just fascinating. And it is indeed opening on Broadway. Let me see if I have anything about the opening in here somewhere, because as I said, I printed the wrong thing, and it doesn't say it. But it had a really good run at the West End, and there was a screening of, they had a live or a professionally videotaped production that they screened in the UK, sort of like we have with, I forgot the name of the company, but that company. So I'm really excited about this show.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
I'm more than intrigued.
Ooh.
More than intrigued. Let's see what the next thing. Oh, and then the final thing that we were going to just chat about here. As you know, I personally have a lot of interest in, and it dawned on me, I probably should have had this conversation when Taylor Flanagan was here, but this is a talking about a bilingual production of, it's not Hamlet, it's called Prince Hamlet, but I think it's obviously based on Hamlet, at Montclair State University. It's already happened, actually. It happened September 23rd through 25th, but it was bilingual in English and in American Sign Language.
Oh, cool.
And that's happening.
That sounds like a company I know in town.
Yes, it's true. But that's happening more and more now, and it makes me so happy. When we did Next to Normal bilingual, and we did Fun Home with with a deaf actor and consequently a deaf character, people, you know, would tell us how brave we were to do this. And it's like, and people are, and I'm using air quotes, are starting to be brave and doing those more and more. So I think it's great. There is a really wealth of deaf and hard of hearing actors out there. And so I'm really happy that people are doing that. So I'm checking the time, and I'm looking at my script to see where we are. We're doing pretty good. Great. So that's the end of the conversation that we're going to have, and we're going to switch gears and talk to you guys about the show you're doing. And I should also say,
go ahead, say it.
Not only am I the host of Ground Floor Theater, I'm also a guest because I'm actually performing in this show. And the show I'm talking about is The Pact. I'm going to reintroduce everybody as we're now entering into the realm of talking about this show.
Love it.
So I want to introduce the playwright, Max Langer. He wrote The Pact.
Hi. Hello. Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. And then the director is Will Douglas.
Hello, everyone.
And then we have two of the actors. One of them is Lisa Sheps. Hi, how are you? I'm good. Thank you. And David Jarrett.
Hello again.
Hello. And I should say that David Jarrett is also, I don't know what your official title is, Artistic Director of Jarrett Productions.
Yes.
So, Max, tell us about The Pact. What is it?
The Pact is a play.
Okay, thanks for being on the show.
And scene.
It's sort of a dark comedy. It's a full-length script. I have called it a kind of climate change comedy in the past. It's about a family and some of the trials and tribulations that they go through.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, David, talking to you as producer, why this show and why now?
I was privileged to be part of a workshop reading of this play in November,
yeah.
Of last year. And I fell in love with the play at that time, and I decided.
How were you involved in that?
How was I involved in that?
Yeah, what was your role in that?
I was reading the role of Glenn.
Okay, you were an actor.
Which now I am playing.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, well, it was kind of a natural since it's the only male role in the show.
But of a certain age.
Of a certain age, yes, exactly.
And of a certain age.
Thanks for adding that.
Anything I can do to help, David.
And Jarrett Productions, as you know, has been around since 2015, and we have studiously avoided doing original works for many reasons. And this just felt like the right play at the right time for us to wade into those waters. And it's been so delightful. I mean, if absent workshop readings, I think people in our profession rarely get to do an original work and create a character or direct a play that's never been directed before or produce a play that's never been produced before. And I've had the privilege of originating four different roles in four different plays in my lifetime. It's been a long lifetime. And I've actually produced four as well and directed three of those. And so it's just so much fun to have the playwright with you in the room, working with you and watching the development. And so Max and I have been living with this. Well, he's been living a lot longer than me, but I've been living with this play alongside of Max for almost a year now. And I think the version that we're using now is 6.2.
Yeah, good memory. Yeah.
So actually, that's one of the things we talked about. I love doing original works, and that's actually the next place I was going. So thank you, David.
Yeah.
When you do an original work, by the time it is presented to the artistic director and the director, it has one thing, and then you go into rehearsal with probably another version, and what ends up actually on stage is yet something different. And that's the beauty of the creative process. So Will and Max, talk about the process for you guys as you were putting this together through rehearsal.
Do you want to start, Will?
Sure, I'll start. So we was a lot of exchanging of emails, more than anything, I would say.
Yep.
We did a informal like reading with our cast in the summertime, and that's what led most of the rewrites into our version that we started rehearsals with, and that has it stayed fairly consistent to our production, version 6.2. With some minor changes. But yeah, just discussion, lots of sharing of emails. Anything to add, Matt?
Well, yeah, we had a good meeting in person. We actually met in person at some point. And then
we did.
The other benefit that I had is that once you had the sort of core draft, you cast it, and maybe a little earlier, I think, than you usually do.
Yep. Yeah.
And that allowed me to kind of hear the voices of the actors reading it, and that allowed me to kind of do a little more tweaking and play with it, which was something unusual, too. And I was grateful to get that. So that was part of it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, speaking of that, y'all are prepared to do a little scene, aren't you?
Well, are you?
Lisa, can you come into the room as the actress?
Here I am. Yes. Yeah. So, Will, can you set up the scene for us?
So we're doing a little snippet of actually what is the very beginning of the show between our two leaders of this family, Lynn, the patriarch, and Carol, the matriarch of this family. And that's about all I want to say.
Great. Well, let's take a moment. We're going to hear Lisa Sheps and David Jarrett perform a scene from Jarrett Productions' production of The Pact. Honestly, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
We have to talk about it.
We don't.
Fine. Let's postpone it.
Kids are coming anyway.
So what?
So?
I'm planning on telling them.
Don't. Please. Not yet.
It's in my journal.
Jesus.
Haven't you journaled about it?
I don't journal about that.
Well, what do you journal about?
Well, I don't know. Sunrises, sunsets, recipes I want to try.
That's it?
That's it, yes.
Well, what's the point of having a journal if you're just going to put the same stuff in there that you'd put on social media?
The journal is for me.
So put this in there, too.
No.
Why?
Someone might find it.
Someone will find it.
Well, and that is the problem with journals. You think they're private, then someone finds it and reads it.
Why keep a journal at all?
Well, I don't know, honestly.
We could burn it.
Then what would I write in?
When the time comes.
Darn it, let's just call it a notebook. I keep a notebook, you keep a journal, then it all lines up.
I lost mine once. Thought it was in the closet. Wasn't there. Thought it was on the nightstand. Nope. Maybe in the kitchen by the coffee maker. Mm-mm.
So, where was it?
On the toilet. On the back of the damn toilet.
For anyone to see.
Kids, grandkids, mailman.
Mailman?
I let the mailman in once. He had to go to the bathroom.
You don't let the mailman in. No one lets the mailman in. It's a breach.
Breach?
A federal law. They can't enter your home.
I don't think that's true.
Separation of church and state. Or something like that.
A man's got to go. A man's got to go. Otherwise, he's peeing in the street or worse, in the truck, using someone's certified mail as toilet paper. You want your mail covered in that?
Stop it.
So the mailman reads my journal. So what? I'm sure he's read worse. Postcards between rapists or whatever?
Rapists don't send postcards.
You don't know.
A rapist sends a postcard, feds come out.
An offense to read someone's mail.
Postcards are fair game.
I love you.
Beautiful.
I wonder what they're not talking about.
What they're not talking about. I thought, I have to say, I think Lisa was probably the best in that scene.
Well, we'll get back to it.
No comment from the director.
That is the actual very first time that I've performed, like we've done 1448, yeah. And I've had little roles in that. Mm-hmm. But this was kind of interesting and a little off-putting. So I have a lot more respect for people that come here and do scenes on the show.
You never done a scene on your own show?
I've not. Not that wasn't just like for giggles.
Well, the postcards will be coming in now.
Well, they are fair game, as they were. So yeah, there seems to be some sort of, so as the title infers, the pact, there's some kind of deal that Carol and Glenn have made, and we don't know what it is.
It's an agreement. It's a commitment of some kind.
So I can just say that as one of the cast members of the show, this has been just such a fun experience putting it together and working with Will. And Will, we should say, and it's no secret, this is your second foray into
both.
Direction.
It is.
Having done... I keep wanting to call it the Halfway House. Heartbreak House.
Very different play.
And so it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure for me to work with you and watch your process.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, this is definitely a very different play than that one was.
Slightly, yes.
But it's been a lot of fun.
You may end up at a Halfway House.
Let's hope not.
Yep. We talk about putting these new shows together, and Max, you are a relatively prolific playwright here in Austin. Ground Floor Theater's produced one of your shows, and I've seen like a zillion others. What do you want to see happen to this show?
Well, you know, we talked about the process and original work, and so I think the next step for me is watching it live and watching an audience react to that. And I think I consider a work in process, even though it's, you guys have it down very well. And I'd love to sort of be able to continue to work on it and submit it other places, see where we can go from here.
And or we transfer to Broadway.
Oh, whatever.
Directly.
Whatever works.
Well, direct to Broadway.
We should, you know, we could have some producers in there. In the audience coming to see it, that might just take us straight to Broadway. I think this would work really good in the booth theater.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm all for that. Let's get that going.
Yeah. Send that out into the universe.
Well, great. So when does the show open?
Show opens on Friday the 30th and plays through October 15th at the Vortex.
At the Vortex.
On Manor Road.
Yep, we've heard of that. And where can folks go to get more information about this show?
They can go to our website, jarrettproductions.com.
Awesome. Well, you guys, y'all, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
This is a first, kind of.
And we're so happy that you allowed Lisa Sheps to come in.
She's actually banned from the studio. So it's really good. So I always choose a piece of music, and I thought the pact would be pretty easy. Indeed, what I typically do is I go into iTunes and I type in whatever word I want to and then add original cast and hopefully what I get. And what I got this time is kind of fun. It's a song called The Pact and it's from a show called Shadowless, which I believe is a vampire kind of thing where somebody makes a pact with the devil.
Yeah.
So that's what y'all will hear. So I want to thank Max Langert, David Jarrett, and I told you I'd lose
my name.
Oh my God!
Rhymes with right Will here. Douglas.
Will Douglas. See, and that's me. And I knew it. I almost wrote it down while we were there. And their production of The Pact at the Vortex from September 29th through October 15th. For more information, jarrettproductions.com. We'll be right back.
We're always on the outside. On the outside, always looking.
That's the wrong song. That was from the last show. Here we go. We are back. You're listening to Off Stage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. We had a lovely discussion from the folks of Jarrett Productions, including Lisa Sheps, about their show, The Pact. And that was David Jarrett, Will Douglas, Max Langert, and me. And now I just want to introduce the folks that are here with me in the studio right now to talk a little local theater and then about their show. We have Jill Klopp-Turner. Hi, Jill. Jill.
Hi, Lisa.
My tongue got stuck. And Shannon Embry. Hi, Shannon.
Hello, Lisa.
Wonderful. We're going to just go real quickly and talk about what's happening locally, which is we've got a lot of... This is like turnover week. A lot of shows have closed. A lot of new shows are opening. So right now, The Miser is still playing over at St. Ed's. They were a guest of ours, I think, last week. Shining City is still playing, different stages at Trinity. Coming up, also currently playing Hamlet, Prince of Denmark by the Barons Men out at the wonderful Richard Garriott Theater. No, it opens the 29th. Never mind. The Miser closes October 2nd. Oy. There's a reading of Candace Rusk's Taylor, Texas on the 30th of this month at 8 p.m. at Kids Acting. And finally, Rosita and Conchita is reopening, I guess. I think that this may be an annual thing. I think it seems to rear its head around this time, around Dia de los Muertos every year. So this year it's being done over at the Scottish Rite, and it opens October 2nd. They may very well be guests on this show very soon. So I want to take a moment to talk about ATX Theater. Are y'all members of ATX Theater?
Absolutely. So
why?
ATX Theater is the one-stop shop. Honestly, they make it really easy for all theater folks and otherwise to go straight to the site and see every single show that's playing in town.
Right. So ATX Theater is a group that really started about making sure that the citizens of Austin know that theater exists. And it's also turned into a really good way for theaters to talk to one another. I mean, we've talked about ATX Theater on the show several times, but I just wanted to highlight it, whatever that word is I'm trying to say, because we're trying to gain members.
That's right.
And membership is easy. How does someone do it?
Yep. You just go to atxtheater.org. There's a little very obvious link that says sign up right there.
Yep.
And the coolest thing about it is that every person that is involved in theater in any way, audience member, volunteer, reviewer, acrobat, can sign up, and you can basically identify as whatever you are in the community, and you can, and things will specifically be catered to what you want and like and need.
Great.
It's really cool.
And you can get information for that at atxtheater.org. Also, if you want to get information about any of the shows I mentioned, right there on the homepage at atxtheater.org is where you can get the information. It is indeed a one-stop shop. When I research local theater, I use two sites. I use ATX Theater, and then I use Now Playing Austin, which I still like, and it's got a little bit, Now Playing Austin has a little further reach, so both of those sites are really good to go to.
And there's the weekly email that they send you is fantastic, because they truly just tell you every single show that's playing at this time. So you can just, boom, buy your ticket right there.
Yeah,
makes
boom.
It super easy.
Boom, ATX Theater. There's also, I was just looking at the site today, and I don't look at it very often because I just don't. I'm not a website surfer. But I did today, and there's lots of little things, like there's they focus on a theater. Every couple of months, mm-hmm. they change that out. The current one on the site right now is Hyde Park Theater. The initial one was, surprise, Ground Floor Theater,
yay!
I'm sort of attached to. Oh, I should say, and this is a non sequitur, I never did get the right piece of music to play at the last thing. The music we ended up playing was from a new release of a show. Obviously, people are going, well, this is some German song. I don't understand it. It's from a production of Jack the Ripper, and that was Sugar Daddy. And indeed, the whole thing is in German. So I should just let people know that they were listening to not what I said, which was a song called The Pact, which I may or may not play. It depends how I feel. And before, no, we'll do it. We'll do it later. Let's talk about your show. We're going to switch gears right here, live on the air, and talk to you guys about the show. So y'all, your production company is Beyond August Productions, which is relatively new, and we're going to talk about that as well. But let's first talk about this show, The Outsider. I'm going to reintroduce you because that's what I do. Shannon Embry, hello.
Hello.
And what you both are also in the show, right?
Correct.
Okay, and what role do you play?
I play the role of Paige, who is a pollster and political advisor over the course of the show.
Awesome. And we have Jill Klopp-Turner. Who are you playing in the show?
I play Rachel Parsons from Channel 3 News.
Oh, lovely. That is the news station I listen to.
There you go.
So obviously you're actors in the show. What are your roles with the company? Do you have roles?
So yes, I believe it? I am the treasurer, but we, I mean, okay. there are four of us on the artistic, you know, that are running it, and we all just take a little slightly different roles, okay. But I do treasure, but I'm here with our president, Jill Klopp-Turner.
Yay.
Founder and president, Jill Klopp-Turner. Next stop.
Okay, great. So this is a show called The Outsider by Paul Slade Smith. Tell us about the show.
Well, The Outsider is a modern madcap political farce. It's similar in tone to the show Veep on HBO.
Heard of it.
Yep. So, you know, the setting is a political environment, but it has very little to do with actual politics. Mm-hmm. It's a really character-driven comedy where each character has their own specific agenda and how they painstakingly try to accomplish it, and of course, all the obstacles that get in their way.
Right, and it's obviously, as you said, it's funny, but you also said mm-hmm. madcap, so mm-hmm. that leads me to believe like it's a check your brains at the door. And
yep. Yep. It certainly is. It's it moves very quickly, and it's one of those where you are listening, you hear a joke, and you're laughing at it, and you missed another one because you were laughing at the one before. So it's super fun and pretty silly.
Well, wonderful. And you've got a great cast. Can you tell our listeners who else is in the show?
Yeah, we feel that the theater gods smiled on us at our auditions. We have Michael Stewart as Ned Newley and Tim Blackburn as Tim Blackwood as Arthur Vance, a political consultant. We also have the ultra-talented Patrick Wheeler, Darren Scharf, and Robin Connors.
Awesome. That's wonderful. And it's directed by Jeff Hinkle.
Yes.
A longtime guest on this show. So mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And I don't remember what we talked about on our emails before you come in here. So feel free to say no. Were you all prepared to do a little scene or no?
Sure.
I can do a short little monologue.
Oh, okay. Yes. Great. Well, why don't we do that? Does it need any kind of setup?
This is Paige speaking to really the chief of staff about what needs to happen after a major mishap that morning.
Great. So this is Shannon Embry doing a monologue from Beyond August production of The Outsider.
Dave, there's a reason you hired me. You hated me when we worked together last time. But you know that I know politics. You knew I could tell you what happens next, which is this. There are two political parties, right? And the other guys, the guys that don't want Ned to be governor, they now have a video of him mumbling and trembling for 5 minutes straight. And they're going to use that video to get him kicked out of office. They're going to call for a special election to replace the governor in 6 weeks. And I'm not telling you Ned won't win a special election. I'm telling you he won't even get to run, because not even his own party will want Governor Mumbles as their candidate. So if you want him to stay in office, you have to undo this. You have to get him back on television today, talking. Not a speech, just 5 minutes of him on camera speaking words. He can do that, right?
Speaking words is not easy, as I can attest. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So this is, where did y'all find this piece?
This was just a deep dive. Mm-hmm. I went to my in-laws over Christmas and read about 30 shows. And this one, I wanted to make sure that we stayed kind of on brand. We've only produced one other show, and that was also a fast-paced, character-driven comedy with a dynamic, small ensemble cast. And I wanted to stay in that area because we had great success with our first show. So we wanted to kind of stay in that wheelhouse.
Wonderful. And that was called Wonder of the World that you did with City Theater.
Certainly was.
Well, great. Well, let's talk about when does the show open?
The show opens this Saturday, October 1st.
And how long does it play?
It plays till October 16th.
October 16th. Mm-hmm. And selfishly, I'm going to ask, do you have a Sunday matinee? And at what time does that happen?
We do. Sunday at 2.
Okay. Well, it's possible I might get to see it then.
I hope you do.
Because that would be the only one I could. Yeah. Well, that is great. I do want to switch gears and we'll get... I'll remind everybody the details, but I want to talk about Beyond August Productions. This is actually your first, if I'm incorrect, tell me, the first time that you are producing as a, only you, because you were in conjunction with City Theater before.
Yes, but we are doing this in collaboration with the Stage Austin.
Oh, okay.
So we're working with them, but we're definitely the ones mainly putting this one on.
Got it. Well, and the Stage Austin, as we know, is just had their very successful run of Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
They sure did.
And you're playing, let's go back to The Outsider, because we didn't talk about this. This is at the Rosette Theater.
It is.
Which I am not familiar with. Where is it?
Well, we're really excited about this. It is in Hyde Park at the Baker Center, mm-hmm. which is the renovated elementary school that's kind of become a center for arts. Austin Classical Guitar has this small black box theater called the Rosette, and we have partnered with them to retrofit the space so that it's conducive to perform theatrical productions. So we'll be the first theater company to perform a play or musical, and in hopes that we will really put them on the map and so that other theater companies can come take advantage of the space.
Wonderful. As we all know that Austin is in very dire need of more venues. Well, thank you all so much for coming on the show. I look forward to seeing it.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, that was Jill Klopp Turner and Shannon Embry of Beyond August Productions, production of The Outsider, playing October 1st through the 16th at the Rosette Theater. For more information, beyondaugustproductions.org. And this is a song from the musical Eleanor, an American love story, called Practical Politics. We'll be right back.
So you're superbly connected. Well, that's just
okay. We are back. It's off stage and on the air with Lisa Sheps. I'm now, for the very first time, alone in the studio. It's very, very lonely here. Before we go away, I just want to mention that there's going to be a production of Jesus Christ Superstar in Amsterdam, and it's part of a collaboration that's been going on in Europe for a while. It starts January 21st of 2024 at the De Lamar Theater in Amsterdam. And it is going to be directed by none other than Eva Van Hove. His name is pronounced in so many different ways. And there will be subsequently travel to 20 other Dutch theaters. So that's pretty cool. I also want to say before we go away that Lynn Nottage's Clydes is the most staged play in America. I've been trying to be one of those people to stage it, but I cannot get the rights. But it is an amazing show by Lynn Nottage. And I should say that American Theater Magazine put out a whole list of the most produced plays and the most produced playwrights, and the vast majority of them are women or female identified. So that is pretty amazing. Finally, really quickly, I just wanted to say that Carol Burnett is leading a campaign to rename the Majestic Theater, which housed the Phantom of the Opera for 40 years, in which Hal Prince directed. She wants to rename that theater, the Majestic Theater, to the Hal Prince Theater or the Harold Prince Theater. So I just find that very interesting. We are just about out of time. John Hoffner is just sitting here waiting to get his show back on the air, Austin Common Radio Hour. John, what do you got going today?
Well, it sounds kind of wonky, but we're starting our election series. We have candidate for District 5 in the city of Austin. So we've interviewed them. We've done short 10 little interviews, minute interviews. Amy made it a little bit more interesting. We have what's called a show and tell at the end. So each one gets to do a show and tell. Obviously, we can't do a show of a show and tell on the air, right?
It's
so
true.
We'll have the tell part of it. It's kind of fun. So we have 4 interviews.
Awesome. That sounds amazing. I'm glad, political season is coming up, and I'm sure we'll have a a lot of questions about the environment and how to make Austin a little bit greener.
Yes.
Wonderful. So again, we're practically out of time. I kept screwing up that song, The Pact. So we're going to play that as we go out. So here, for your listening pleasure, finally, is The Pact from the show Shadowless.
Fighting blindly through the maze,
I rarely see it.
Forms confront us on our quest.
Can I just give it away?
Hundreds coldly meet our gaze, but I found one of the best.
Who is this
Such
man?
Such splendid shade of black.
What use is it to him?